You know, our God is awesome, isn't he? Literally, just some of the things that have been going on. Billy walks in today. He said, "Billy, you want to sing special music?" He said, "Sure, let me go pick something out." And that song really encapsulates the whole point of the series of sermons we've been going through. The idea that we desire intimacy with God more than anything else. More than gold or silver, we desire to be have an intimate relationship with our God. Just how awesome is our God? Couldn't have planned it any better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we have just to come and worship you this morning, the opportunity we have to dig into your word and learn from it. Lord, I pray not only do we hear the words from your word, but Lord, we're able to apply them to our lives. I pray that as we leave this building, we will have been changed as a result of our time together this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I do pray that as we've gone through this series, that you've been challenged to grow in your relationship with God. You know, I think about Paul as he writes to the New Testament churches. He would often pray, and I know specifically in the book of Ephesians, he would pray that the church of Ephesus would know God more. And the word know, sometimes we often think of it as head knowledge, and that's not what Paul is talking about, because the reality is, we can know all kinds of scripture, we can memorize verses, we can know the doctrines, and we can throw out big fancy words like bibliology, theology proper, Christology, pneumatology, harmartiology, soteriology, and we can know what they mean. Right? And we can know the names of all 66 books of the Bible, and we can list them off in order, but the reality is we can have all this knowledge in our head and still fail to know God. What Paul is praying for is Paul is praying that they would know God in a personal, intimate way. And I think about that, really that's God's desire for each one of us as his children, that we would love him. And as I've shared before from this pulpit, I'm always reminded when I think of intimacy with God, that it's God's desire for us. I always go back to the conversation that Jesus had with Peter. Right? Jesus would say to Peter, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." You see, before anything else, God wants our love. He wants our love, then he wants our obedience. And that's why we've spent this time in Psalm 139. And if I think of anybody who had a personal relationship with God, it was David. And this morning, I want us to relate to how our relationships with each other, how we relate horizontally with people, so we can compare it to how we relate with God. Because we understand how we relate with one another. In fact, actually, there was an article written by Barbara Wilson, and it has this idea that there are five different levels of intimacy that we have with the relationships we have here on earth. And often, they're revealed by the way we communicate with one another. And so, as it's listed here, and we'll go through these five levels, the first level is referred to as safe communication. And I'm guessing most of you know what that conversation sounds like, right? What is the one thing that you talk about to a total stranger? The weather, right? I used to work at Home Depot. I was a cashier. Number one topic. I mean, if this was going to be a Family Feud thing, that would be the number one answer. You know, what do people talk about to strangers? The weather. Boy, it's hot out there today. Can you believe how much it's rained this past year? On the Weather Channel, I saw they said we've had 70 inches of rain in Fort Myers this year. And then we all like to talk about snow, right? We have some people from up north, and whenever a big cold front's coming in, the snow's coming in, everybody says, "Wow, they're calling for 5 inches or 6 inches or a foot of snow." And down here in Florida, we have the same conversation because we don't have to deal with it. We're kind of like, "Yeah, they're getting snow. We're enjoying the sun." Just a reminder of what it is to live in paradise, right? But it's a conversation. Oh, our Indiana people just left the building. But the reality is we can have these conversations. We can bump into somebody at the grocery store. We can talk to the cashier, and we can have these conversations, and it's safe. We're not revealing anything about ourselves. It's something we all experience. It's something we all have in common. We've all experienced it right now. One of those safe conversations here in this area is hurricane experiences. And yes, I stayed for this one, so you can't laugh at me for leaving like I did the last time. So that's level one, it's safe. And level two, when we communicate, we might get to know somebody a little better. We begin to share others' opinions. So we might share something we've heard. We might share what someone else has said. I might say to you, you know, my dad always preferred college sports over professional sports. Or might say at one time, you know, I heard not too long ago somebody said Tom Brady should have stayed retired. See? Now I know I'm safe making that comment. Even somebody else said it because I just got some agreement here. You know, but in the same hand, if they kind of start booing me for saying something like that, I can back up because it's not what I said, it's what someone else said. So see, there's still a certain level of safety in this conversation because I'm sharing other people's opinions. I kind of think of it as in this communication and thinking through the different levels, it's kind of like when you're in a swimming pool and there's actually a deep end that's over your head. Levels one and two, you're in the shallow end. As we get into level three, we start to get on that steep slope. And really, you become vulnerable as we share more about ourselves. And sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, right? We don't know somebody very well, and we share something only to find out that they believe something completely different. I'll give you an example. We have these men that came from Indiana. They just about walked out on me for talking about snow. But they're all here doing work, and I share my opinion about certain tools. You know? I say, I like rigid battery-powered tools. They'll work circles around DeWalt, only to find out that Mike likes DeWalt. I'm like, well, you know, now he's trying to throw my rigid tools away the rest of the week. See, I jumped ahead of myself. I really didn't know him well enough to know what tools he liked, but I jump out and share my opinion. I jump into level three when I should have been at level one, and it causes problems. But level three, when we get there, we begin to share our personal opinions and beliefs. At this point, we begin to take more risk. We begin to take ownership of what we believe and ownership of our opinions. It's at this point we might consider talking about religion and politics. Right? We all know the dangers of those two subjects. And you have to know certain things about certain people before you would say that. Before you would talk about those things. And even then, when someone doesn't agree, we can back off because we're just sharing our opinion. But it's when we get to level four, we enter into a vulnerability state in relationships as we begin to share our feelings and our experiences. To the level where other people really begin to know who we are, how we feel. The list of people that we communicate with at this level is small in number. We begin to share our personal convictions, how we feel about something. This is the point where we say, I'm a Christian. Not only am I a Christian, I'm a Baptist. We will share embarrassing moments, mistakes we've made in the past. And I even think about this as a pastor. As pastors move from church to church, you know, a new pastor is going to preach at a level one or level two, especially when it comes to illustrations. But the more the pastor gets to know the congregation, the more the pastor gets to know the people, he begins to share those personal experiences from the pulpit. Because, I mean, if I'd come in and shared some of the illustrations I share with you as of late when I was candidating, you'd probably say, this guy's crazy. Some of you may think that now. I think I heard something over that way in the trouble corner. Don't you guys belong in this section? That's it. But you have to feel safe with that person to share this kind of information. You have to feel safe that they're not going to judge you, safe that they're not going to be critical of you. And that's level four. We have one more level, and that's level five, and that's where we begin to share our needs, our emotions, and our desires. This is a level when people really figure out who you are. And the reality is, in most of us, our lives, there may only be five people that know us at this level. And one of them is probably your spouse. It requires trust. It requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to know that no matter what we do, it won't change, or what we reveal, or what we say, won't change how they feel about us. This is where we share our desires. This is where we share our hurts. And this is where we may even share our struggles and our relationship with God, our struggles with sin. And it has to be someone close. As I said, it's the kind of relationship that typically you only have with your spouse or maybe with your parents. We've kind of gone through these five levels fairly quick this morning, but what does this have to do? What do these levels of intimacy have to do with our relationship with God? You know, as we worked our way through Psalm 139, and as you listen to me quote it this morning, there's one thing I think about David, especially at the point in time that he wrote this psalm, and some of the other psalms that we find in the book of Psalms, written by David. David was at a level five with God. Even what we read today, you can see David is pouring out his heart to God. He's pouring out his emotions, pouring out his feelings. And even as we look at the last two verses today, David is opening his heart wide open to God to come in and examine his life. I mean, that is level five intimacy. And we're going to look at these last two verses this morning as David, as he concludes the psalm, he makes four requests to God. And let me read for you verses 24 and 25. Let me 23 and 24. There is no 25. As David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." And again, four requests here. The first request is, "God, search me and know my heart." And there's something about this request, because at the beginning of the psalm, if you remember in the first five verses, David makes it clear God knows everything. Right? He knows when I sit and when I rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He discerns our going out, our lying down. He's familiar with all our ways before there's a word on our tongue. He knows it completely. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about it. But there's something different. I think there's something special. There's something about when we can get to a level five intimacy with God, where even though we know He's aware of everything, we want to share it with Him. We want to expose our hearts to Him. And really, that's what David does here. Asking God to search his heart. They said it's almost as if David's opening up his chest and say, "Here it is, come in." And I wonder, how often do we open up our hearts like that towards God? And the thing is, as we grow in our relationship with Him, as we desire to have an intimacy with God, we're going to want Him in our hearts. We're going to want Him to search us. And not only our hearts, but our minds, which is the second request, as David asked for a thought examination, as he says, "Try me and know my anxieties." Or another way of saying it, "Know my anxious thoughts." Anyone here not have any anxious thoughts? Right? We all tend to worry about something at some time, don't we? few weeks ago, might have been some anxieties as we sat through a storm. And the wind howled. And the carport beat on the roof, entertaining those next door. Might have some anxiety of what it's going to be to get things back to normal. Might be wondering if it's worth it to stay in Florida. I mean, maybe shoveling snow is better than enduring a hurricane. See, now I can back up. That was my opinion. Others may be worried about a health issue, finances, a relationship where reconciliation isn't taking place. And I think about this. David had to have some anxieties in his life as well. I mean, after all, Saul was trying to kill him. King Saul was trying to kill David on multiple occasions. One of David's own children, Absalom, had tried to take over as king, and David's life was in danger. And I have to believe there was anxieties in his life during those times. And evidently there were some other anxieties in his life, because he's like, God, test me and know my anxious thoughts. The reality is, when it comes to this area, there are some things we never share with anyone, especially when it comes to anxieties. I'd almost say it's a good possibility that some of you have some concerns or some worries that you haven't even shared with your spouse because you don't want them to be anxious. Yet God says, Lord, just test me. Know my anxious thoughts. And I think he does this because he knows that he's supposed to be trusting God right now. He knows that these anxieties aren't supposed to be there, yet they are. And again, I think there's this difference, and I think this is all about relationship, because God knows those anxious thoughts, but there's something about when we get to a point when we ask Him to test us, when we ask Him, really, there's probably anxieties we have in our life that we don't even recognize. And in a way, it's like, God, show me these anxieties. Show me what I need to deal with in my life. Because those anxieties, the reality is, those anxieties in our life hinder our relationship with God. Once again, on a human level, it's hard to communicate with somebody like this. Because you're making yourself very vulnerable. And we've learned not to trust people, haven't we? There's all kinds of scams out there. If they get your personal information, they'll use it against you. And unfortunately, it's taking place in the church as well. And I think this is a shame with Christians that we can't trust one another, but there are times in churches when someone will share something with you only to hear it's been passed throughout the whole church the following week, causing them to lose their trust, causing them to realize that they can't share that kind of vulnerability with anyone. The good news for you and I this morning is we can trust God. He's going to keep our secrets. Right? We can share with Him everything. We can share with Him every detail of our lives. He already knows it anyhow. He knows us. He knows our every flaw. He knows every sin we have committed. He knows every sin we will commit. He knows all the details of our lives. And the reality is, He knows all of it, and He chose to save us anyhow. And no matter what we do, He continues to love us with an unconditional love. If we can't share intimate feelings with God, who can we share them with? The reality is, nothing we share with God is going to change how He feels about you and I. That's what grace is all about. And then the third request that David makes as we move on is he asks that God really to look into his life for sin. See if there is any wicked way in me. And I think about the previous verses, 19 through 22, as David talks about those who speak evil against God, those who misuse God's name. And I think this ties in right after that. David's like, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm not included in it. I want to make sure that I've never offended you. I want to make sure that I've never misused your name. Please reveal that to me where I have so that I can change it, because I don't want to be offensive to you. And really, that's what we focused on last week. We need to learn to hate what God hates and love what God loves. And we need to see that all sin, no matter how insignificant we may think it is, no matter how often we may justify it, all sin is offensive to our God. And David, knowing this, he's like, God, make it, reveal this to me. Reveal my sins. Reveal my wicked ways. Well, as Christians, this is an area that's tough. The question is, are we willing to change when God reveals it? Which really leads to the last request that David has here, and it's for guidance. And he says, and lead me in the way everlasting, or lead me into righteousness. Now, David's praying for God to lead. He wants to do what is right. I think of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. He would say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they we will be filled. David has a hunger and thirst for God. A hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants to do what is right. The kind of hunger and thirst that someone may have when they first date somebody. Can anybody remember that far back? Can any of you remember what you had for lunch yesterday? Right? I mean, you think about it. When you're first dating and you really hunger and seek to win that person's approval. So you may buy flowers for the young lady. You put on nice clothes and try to look nice. And, you know, 20 years later, you're like, eh. But we need, when it comes to righteousness, we need a hunger and thirst, that desire to please God and do what is right. And I love what Jesus says. He says, when we do that, we'll be filled. We'll have that. We'll have that hunger. We'll have that thirst. But the real realization is there are times as Christians we lose the zeal. And I think we need to be praying as David is praying, lead me in the way everlasting. Create in me a hunger and thirst to do what is right. And we've taken time, and it's just two verses this morning, but four significant requests that David has. And I want to be able to help you relate how it affects you and how it can affect your relationship with God. My prayer is that each one of us would desire to obtain a level 5 intimacy with God. One of the reasons I've encouraged you as a congregation to memorize Psalm 139, one of the reasons we have note cards out there to help you with that process. You know, it's as we meditate on the truths of this psalm that we meditate that our God is omniscient, that we meditate that He is omnipresent, or just the simple fact, if we want to put it in human simple words, He knows everything and He's everywhere. Not only that, each one of us have been personally handcrafted by God. We are His creation. He says, we meditate on these truths. I believe it spurs us on to want that intimacy with Him. And as I've thought about this, I think one of the ways that we can see where we're at, where are you? You know, this morning I've given you these 5 different levels. Where are you? Or do you think you're at a level 1, or do you think you're at a level 5, or somewhere in between? Let me help you and give you a few tools to evaluate. Really, it's one tool, and it comes down to your prayer life. How do you communicate with God? When you pray, what does it sound like? What do you say to God? And I wonder how many of our prayers are a level 1. God, we thank you for the weather. We thank you for this. Brief things, nothing personal. And then we lay out a few requests, things that we want from God. But it's safe communication. We're not revealing anything from our heart. We're not asking Him to come into our lives and intervene. And maybe that describes you this morning. Your prayers are just simple. Thank God for something, ask Him for something, say amen, and it's over. But maybe your prayer is more at a level two. We may not pray quite like we talk to a person, but really in our prayers we repeat what we've heard others say. We almost give the typical Sunday school answer or Sunday school prayer. And really our prayers are nothing more than things we've heard in church or Sunday school. And we repeat those things along the way. You know, God, we thank you for saving me from my sins. And we repeat all the things that we learned as children in Sunday school or even as adults. But we're still not praying from the heart. Level three, we begin to pray from the heart. We begin to share. We speak to God based on our beliefs and conviction is no longer something we've heard in Sunday school, but it's what we truly believe. And we can honestly say to God, God, thank you for sending your son. I get it. I understand that he took my place. He paid the price for my sins when he died on the cross. And it's when I put my faith in you, I received his righteousness. And you begin to grasp and you begin to, it's very personal when you pray. And as you pray those personal thoughts and requests to God, you realize just how awesome He is. And as you pray, you're just in awe that you have the opportunity, as the book of Hebrews says, to enter the throne room with boldness. Level four prayer is where we begin to share our feelings with God as we pray. You know, God, I really don't like my job. This is the prayer many people might have on Sunday night as they anticipate going to work on Monday morning. I really don't want to go back there. In fact, Lord, I have some anxious thoughts about that job. I may not sleep well tonight. Or it could be, Lord, as we sat through the winds of the hurricane, I'm a little scared right now. I don't care for this much. When we begin to share those emotions, we begin to share those feelings with God. And again, as we read in the psalm, it's not that God doesn't know every emotion and feeling we have, but there's something about it when we share it. Then there's a level five prayer, and I believe that's where we see David in these last two verses of this psalm. And I'm not sure it's this level of intimacy with God is easily obtained. And I believe it's only through the Holy Spirit's work in our life that it can be obtained as we openly open our hearts up to God in prayer. At this point, we say, God, you know, I'm struggling. I want to do what is right, but I'm struggling. I keep failing. I keep wrestling with this sin. Can you please take it from me? Whether it's a thought or whether it's the temptation to gossip, whatever it is, you just say, God, I need to stop. Please help me. Because I don't want to be offensive to you. I don't want to live in a wicked way. And then just that idea of praying, not only opening up and sharing those feelings and those struggles and those sins and those spiritual struggles, but also praying, God, I need your guidance. And again, who better to ask for guidance who can see in the dark, right? We saw that earlier on in the psalm. Even darkness is as light to you. Because right, there are times when we stumble in our Christian walk. We stumble as if we can't see where we're going, and that's where we need to lean on God. Trust Him and His Spirit to lead us and guide us. And this may be where we pray, God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I trust You. I trust Your sovereignty. I trust that You will guide me in the right way. And I wonder why we hold back from God in our prayers. Do we think God's going to be disappointed in us? I mean, we're not going to reveal anything to Him He doesn't already know. Really, something that He hasn't known since the beginning or the foundations of the world, He knew. But one thing we have to realize is as we strive to grow in intimacy with God, it's not something we can say, I've arrived, and be done. As I believe at this point in David's life, he was at a level 5 with God. But I believe there was a time where he might have been at best a level 1. A time when he should have been out on the battlefield, but he was up on the roof and looking across the way. And saw Bathsheba on top of the roof. Found out she was married. Again. He wasn't seeking God to lead him in the way everlasting. What's he do? He finds out she's married and he invites her over anyhow. Then after that, she becomes pregnant. He has her husband killed. Deception and lies. I cannot believe David was a level 1 or a level 5 intimacy with God at this point in time. I believe he returned there. And we're going to look at Psalm 51 next week. But my point is we can't say I'm there and relax. We can't let our guard down. It takes a constant effort on our part, a constant interaction with God's Word. As David would say, how precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. We need to make sure that's true in our lives. And then we need to be willing to make the request and pour our hearts out to God as David has done in these last 2 verses of this psalm. Reality is, folks, and again, Carmen said it in Sunday school today, and he tries to make the distinction between religion and Christianity. I fear many people are good at being religious. And I'll be honest, I did it for years. You know, I sit where you're sitting for years as a young adult, struggling to stay awake every Sunday morning. And it really wasn't until God grabbed a hold of my part, a hold of my heart, and I began to realize, no, it's more than just going to church. It's more than just listening to this guy speak. It's about knowing about God, learning more about Him so I can grow in my faith, grow in my love for God. And the next thing you know, it leads from that realization to serving. And from serving to a call into ministry. And I can tell you, I would never go back. But what about you this morning? Where are you at? Where do you fit into that scale when it comes to how intimate is your relationship with God? You see, at a level 1, you don't care about sin at all. You really don't. But it's only when you get to level 4 and 5 where you begin to say, God, deal with these sins in my life. Take them away. Lead me in the way everlasting. You know, and you begin to ask God to examine your heart, examine your thoughts, to look for sin in your life. Reality is, God, there's nothing God wants from you more this morning than your love. Because He knows if He has your love, He'll get your obedience. So I just encourage you, the next time you pray, next time you're alone with God, I challenge you to open your heart to Him in prayer. Expose yourself to Him. your thoughts, your anxieties, your heart, and just pray. Pray that he would reveal to you your sin, and pray that he would guide you through the process of getting rid of those sins and guide you to live a righteous life. To be honest with you, I believe part of the problem in our country today is there are too many level one Christians. And lost people see right through it. You know, as a level one Christian, you're going to make it to heaven. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. But often, you're the ones that lost people will point to and say they're a hypocrite. They sit in church on Sunday, but they do something totally different the rest of the week. It's only when we get to 4 and 5 that our life really reflects what we believe. It's only at level 4 or 5 that we desire to please God, and we realize that sin is an offense to him, and we want to do everything we can to avoid offending the one we love. And folks, that's my prayer for us as a church. We're not just a church that goes through the motions, but we're a church who loves the God we serve. That we don't just show up here because it's something we do on Sunday morning, but we show up excited to worship the God we love and the God who loves us. Not only will it make a difference in how we worship, but it make a difference in how we live. And my prayer is that we would all live lives that bring glory and honor to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you just for the opportunity to worship you this morning. And Lord, we pray for those who may not have been able to make it today. We just pray that you continue to watch over them. And Lord, I pray for each person present this morning. I pray that your Spirit would just work in their heart and be at work in their heart at this very moment, just helping them and creating in them a hunger and thirst to grow in their relationship with you. Lord, I pray that though this church may be small in number, that you would use it in a mighty way, in a way that as people would look on from the outside, they could only say, God must be at work in that church. And Lord, we thank you again just for the day that you've given to us and the opportunity that we've had to worship you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, if you'd like to respond to the message, you can always come forward and pray here at the front of the auditorium, or if you'd like, I can pray with you. And I pray that everybody here this morning is saved. But the reality is that is the first step. And that is trusting in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. And if you haven't done that, really what you heard this morning has no significance. And I'd encourage you to come if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior as we sing this morning.